knows me now, and he died for me. He loved me then, and he loves me now. Oh, how can it be? He saw my face. He knew the place I would be today. He knew me then. He knows me now. Some people say that he died one day, but that was long ago. Well, I'm sure that he was a very good man, but me he did not. Listen, my friend, what I say is true, that he knew me, and he sure knew you. He knew you then, he knows you now, and he loves you. He knows you now, and he died for you. He loved you then, and he loves you now. Oh, I know it's true. He saw you. He knows us now, and he loves us still somehow.
Dear friends, I'm introducing Dr. Walter Martin. He was one of the best teachers exposing cults. He founded the Christian Research Institute and created the well-known radio program about various denominations. Today the program is called The Bible Answer Man. Today's program will be addressing Mormonism, what Walter called the maze of Mormonism. Even if you're not involved, being a believer, the missionaries seem to know who is and will knock on your door sooner or later. Mormons know that believers are looking to serve in some capacity, and they have a convincing way of making them believe that it is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, his church, when they are having a different Jesus and do not believe in the Holy Spirit as believers do. Satan knows how to make believers believe a lie. It's best to be prepared to witness the truth to the missionaries. For me, it was a great way to help me understand the Bible. There will be 4 talks on this subject, approximately 15 minutes each.
And then he started, underneath us are the everlasting arms. God has arms. His head and his hair were as white as wool. God has a head. And the eye of the Lord is upon the earth. God has eyes. God's ears never close so that they can hear the righteous. God has ears. And the hand of the Lord wrote on the wall, quoted Daniel, God has hand. The fingers of God, God has fingers. He said, your feasts are a stench in my nostrils. God has a nose. The word has gone out of my mouth. God has a mouth. And he went down the line, eyes, ears, nose, mouth, hands, feet. When he got all finished, he said, there, sir, our prophets are correct. God is an exalted man. And I said, don't stop now. I said, read me one more verse. He said, what is that? I said, read Psalm 91, verse 4, and read it just as loud. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Chicken. It's going to get even worse. Our God is a consuming fire. Now he's a blast furnace. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Now he's a loaf of bread. I am the door, wood, hinges. Believe that. Well, this Mormon boy, he broke up. He just couldn't help it. He just started to laugh. And the Mormons started to laugh themselves. They got the message. And he said, well, he said, that's figurative language. I said, aha, now we have arrived at the truth. I taught the science of hermeneutics, which is biblical interpretation, for 5 years. One of the first things that you learn is examine a context very carefully so that you don't take everything literally. If you take everything literally, you end up with chickens, blast furnaces, and big men. What you better do is examine things very carefully and find out what the writer intended. And the writer intended to portray God in anthropomorphic terms, in human terms, so that we would never forget. An eye that never closes, an ear that always hears, a hand that cannot be stopped. I said, the same verse that says his head and his hair were as white as wool also says out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. You don't really believe God has a sword for a tongue. No, he said, I don't believe that. I said, fine. I said, you see, Joseph and Brigham didn't understand the science of biblical interpretation. And they were stuck with these things. You don't have to be stuck with them. You understand. God is not an exalted man. He's not a big man. God is spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's deal with the God of the Bible and don't make him a big man. And don't make him Adam either. Brigham said, Adam is our father and our God. And the only God with whom we have to do, that is a lie. Adam is not anybody's God. Father, yes, first of the human race, but not anybody's God. He's certainly not the only God with whom the Mormons should have to do. Now, I was preaching in a church up in Connecticut. After I finished, one of the top Mormons in the district got up. I'll never forget. He was absolutely enraged at the quotations I was using from the scriptures and from Joseph and Brigham in the question period. And he said, I would like 10 minutes to come to the pulpit and correct all of these misrepresentations. I said, no, you can't have 10 seconds in the pulpit, but you can ask any question you want. He said, I want you to know that as a Mormon, I believe in only one God. And he said, this thing that you're talking about, I know nothing about. And he went on for a couple of minutes. So I said, well, let's go into it for a minute. I said, do you believe there's one God for this planet or one God for the universe? One God for the universe. And I said, how about for this planet? I believe in one God for the universe. We have a tape of this. You have to hear it to believe it. And I said, well, let's go a little bit further. I said, do you believe that there are gods that exist in the universe? That they really exist? He said, I believe in only one God. I said, do you believe Joseph Smith's a prophet of God? Yes, I do. I said, I want you to hear the words of Joseph Smith, and I read these words. I said, do you believe that? He said, I do. I said, you believe that in the beginning, the head of the gods called the council of the gods together? Yes, I do. I said, how can you say that and say there's only one God? He said, well, I don't have anything to do with those gods. Now, that's right on the tape. Now, this is Mormon logic. You better learn it real quick. That's exactly the way it works. There's only one chief God who runs everything, and they have nothing to do with all the rest of them. But you see, this is important. Very important. If you admit that there exists more than one God, according to the Bible, you're a polytheist. No polytheist can be a Christian. That is what separates Mormonism from Christianity forever. You can use our terminology, you can quote our Bible, you can mention Jesus Christ, and you can follow the Christian ethic and morality. But if you do not have the God of the Bible, and if you are a polytheist, you can never be a Christian. It is an extremely subtle and dangerous theology that Joseph Smith and Brigham Young have given to the Mormons, many of whom are dedicated, fine, hard-working, sincere people who have really believed that these men are prophets of God, but they're not. They are false prophets because they do not speak according to the law and the testimony. And their doctrine of God is not the biblical doctrine of God. We judge them by Holy Scripture, and they are weighed in the balances and found wanting. What do the Mormon theologians, Joseph and Brigham, think of Jesus Christ? Well, what did they tell Look magazine? That's worthwhile, because that's a public domain. Do Mormons believe in the virgin birth? Answer, yes. The Latter-day Saints accept the miraculous conception of Jesus the Christ. That sounds pretty orthodox. They accept the miraculous conception of Jesus the Christ. But do they really accept the virgin birth of Jesus Christ? In order to understand it, we have to go to what the Mormons say is the virgin birth. To do that, we have to go to Mormon theology, and I can't think of a better source to go to than Brigham Young. For Brigham Young spoke in no uncertain terms about the person of Jesus Christ. Let me quote him on this subject, so there will be no doubt. Quote, "When the Virgin Mary conceived the child Jesus, the Father had begotten him in his own likeness. He was not begotten by the Holy Ghost. And who was the Father? He was the first of the human family. Jesus, our elder brother, was begotten in the flesh by the same character that was in the Garden of Eden and who is our Father in heaven." Close quote. Now think about that for a second. He was not begotten by the Holy Ghost. Turn to your Bibles. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. For openers, Mary is told by angelic proclamation, "The Holy Ghost will come upon thee, the power of the highest will overshadow thee, that which is to be born of thee will be called Holy, Son of God." Brigham Young, "When the Virgin Mary conceived the child Jesus, the Father had begotten him in his own likeness. He was not begotten by the Holy Ghost." Brigham is not telling the truth. You have a choice between Luke and Brigham. Make your choice. I prefer Luke because he happens to be a writer of inspired scripture, one of the witnesses, and his writings antedate Brigham. I would direct your attention to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1 to call the Apostle Matthew to the witness stand, so that his testimony may be heard. Verse 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place this way. When his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, before they had sexual relations, she was found pregnant by the Holy Ghost." That's a direct reading from the Greek text. "And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. While he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Matthew 1, verse 20. Matthew and the angel have a different view than Brigham. May I now quote Brigham in contrast? "When the Virgin Mary conceived the child Jesus, the Father had begotten him in his own likeness. He was not begotten by the Holy Ghost." Matthew, quoting the angel to Mary. Do not be afraid to take Mary thy wife. Excuse me, quoting the vision to Joseph. Do not be afraid to take unto thee Mary thy wife. That which is conceived in her is by the Holy Ghost. I believe that we must accept the evidence of Scripture. Absolutely is conclusive. Brigham Young did not tell the truth. If they speak not according to the law and the testimony, it is because there is no light in them. He was not a true prophet, he was a false prophet. But he had something. Who was the father? He was the first of the human family. And that always puzzled me. Who was the first of the human family? So I did a little research, and I was preaching not too long ago in a church in California, and a gentleman came to me after the service, a Mormon. He said, you know, that problem puzzled me too. And he handed me a book that I thought was quite revealing. And he said, I'm giving this to you because of who you are, and he said, because of the way you presented what you did. He said, you will find here exhaustive documentation on the doctrine of Adam God. He said, from Mormon sources. He said, I know that members of the church are trying to bury this. He said, but it's only fair that the truth be told. He said, Brigham did teach the doctrine of Adam God, and so did Joseph Smith, Doctrine and Covenants, section 27. He said, I think you ought to have some more documentation. And he said, I'm giving it to you free. And he gave me 136 pages of documentation, all of which I have had the opportunity to go over. I'm happy to point out that he did a fine job of research on this, documenting the teaching of his own church. What is the doctrine of Adam God? This is it. That the first of the human family, Adam God, came into the world with Eve, one of his celestial wives, lived, sinned, died, was resurrected, rose to the rank of exaltation or godhood, then later on became, through sexual intercourse, the father of Jesus of Nazareth. Brigham taught it. There are at least 48 Mormon volumes that contain it that I have been able to find, official publications of the church. And, I might point out, Brigham Young's authoritative discourses on the subject. But what interests me is a quotation from the Articles of Faith by Talmadge. I want to quote it to you. Concerning Jesus Christ's unique status in the flesh, quote, the offspring of a mortal mother and an immortal, glorified, and resurrected father, close quote. Adam God is quite obviously who we're talking about. That statement was expunged from Articles of Faith in the 1925 edition. Fortunately, I have the 1923 edition, along with lots more quotations. You might say, why are you sticking with these quotations? I'm sticking with Brigham Young. For Mormonism rises and falls on Joseph and Brigham. If they are false prophets, the whole structure collapses. And they are. And therefore, it's possible to be sincerely involved in Mormonism and be sincerely wrong. When the Mormons told Look magazine, yes, we believe in the miraculous conception of Jesus the Christ, I'll say it was miraculous. It outdid the New Testament in spades. He was conceived by an immortal, resurrected, and glorified father, Adam God. What a horror to introduce.
Friends, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and wish to be in the rapture, say this prayer with me right now, okay? It will be available on cephas-radio.com in case you can't follow it. Cephas, cephas-radio.com. Our Father, who art in heaven, thank you for giving up your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who was the only one who was without sin, and able and willing to take the penalty for all our sins by shedding his blood, so we can be assured that he paid the penalty in full. He said the following before he died on the cross, "It is finished." God, Father, I humbly come before you and ask for forgiveness for my sins. I repent of them. I wish to become your child, born again of the Holy Spirit, who will be my teacher, my comforter, and my connection to you, Father God. I believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God. I wish to make him my Lord and Savior forever. Amen. This commitment will change me, and goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23:6. Remember, God is in control and allowing his word to be fulfilled when the time is right. Our assignment is to keep you informed as to not be deceived. Satan comes in a perfect coat. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Mark chapter 13, verse 22, "For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect." The elect have the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. Jesus taught in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Time is up. Celebrate our 25th anniversary with us at CephasThriftShop.com. CephasThriftShop.com. We are selling our inventory at a 90% discount. Books, DVDs, CDs, and etc. The DVDs and CDs are originals and new, and the books are described. Join our monthly newsletter free at go-cephas.com. My email address is r421@earthlink.net. Thanks for listening, and tell your friends about us. God bless you, and hope to share with you next week. Shalom, Rita Williams.